If you were going to become a welder, and you needed to be prepared, you might spend some time learning about welding machines. You might spend some time learning about welding rods. You might spend some time learning about the kind of shields and gloves you would use, what kind of materials you would use the different rods on. And you may do that before you ever began to actually do welding. And once you've learned that as a welder, throughout your career as a welder, that information would be very valuable to you. So every time you did a welding job, you wouldn't have to go back and be retrained, go read a book as to what kind of rod to use or what kind of material these particular welding rods will work on. So that could be some information that you would learn that would sustain you and help you the rest of your career as a welder. What does that have to do with what we're doing? What we're studying today can be the kind of tools, this Bible survey, that will help you in your career as a Bible student. If you have an overview of the Bible, where things go, an idea of the overall theme and purpose, 6 months from now, 6 years from now, or maybe 60 years from now with some of you, these are the kind of tools that can be still valuable to you. And so while we may not be looking at as much at practical moral values or doctrinal issues, although we see some of these as we go through, we're hoping to equip ourselves to be better welders, our Bible students, by gathering this data and trying to put it in our memory bank so that it will help us in the days to come in serving our God who loved us and sent His Son to die for us. So we're going to begin our class this morning with the questions at the top of this lesson 12. And we're going to start with Raylan. What race or nationality was Ruth?
Moabite.
Here's a question that's not on there, but it's an associated question. So what? What significance, special interest is that it would be mentioned that Ruth was a Moabite?
She left the religion that she was going to be with Naomi.
Okay, that's the religion she grew up knowing. Why? That's a good answer. I knew my question wasn't very good.
She's a part of Christ's
lineage. A Moabite in the lineage of Christ. Remember, we went to the last part of the book, which gives you a clue as to why you have the book in the first place. She's in the lineage of Christ. So she was a Jewish Moabite, right?
She was an adulterer, but she was ashamed. She had faith in God.
No, that's not my question. Is she a Jewish Moabite?
No.
There is no such thing. She's a Gentile. You were talking about her conversion to the Jewish religion, which is correct. But she's a Gentile, so a Gentile in the lineage of Christ. Any other Gentiles in the lineage of Christ?
Yes.
Tell me two other women.
Rahab.
Who?
Rahab
and Tamar, right? Okay. So here's the story of Ruth. At first glance, you might wonder why that's in your Bible. It certainly is a good story about love between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. It's a love about an. It's a good story about an honorable man named Boaz. It's an excellent book to study the concept of redemption. He redeemed Ruth. But at the end of the book, you have the key that Ruth is there as a link in the overall scheme of God's plan to fulfill a promise He made. Where's the first time you read about this promise of a Messiah?
Genesis 3.
Genesis 3 what? 15, right? Okay. And so that's been developed throughout. And then that story is picked up with a guy named Abraham about his lineage. What chapter?
Genesis 12.
That's right. And so we're seeing these pieces throughout the scriptures, but it forms a whole. And it all plays into this overall scheme. Okay? Anyone, what is the book of... Well, I just answered that, so I'll skip that one. What's the book of Ruth about? So I answered the question. All right? What is first... this is for Wyatt. What is 1 and 2 Samuel about? Very good. Samuel. And Samuel marked the end of a period. What period?
Judges.
That's right. Although he had two boys who were judges, they were very corrupt. So you have Samuel. And then you have Saul. And what's unique about Saul?
First king.
And then you have David. All right. So Samuel, first 9 chapters. And then Saul, and then David, and the last part of the book, 16 through the end, is Saul and David. So you see Saul anointed chapter 10. Just go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Samuel. Look at chapter 8. Now before I read it, I've got this other question on the lesson that Rachel Fonts is going to answer. Why did the people want a king? 2 reasons. Right. They wanted to be like other nations, and Samuel's sons were corrupt. Look at verse 5. They said to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways." That is, they're unrighteous, they're ungodly. "Now, appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations." And so you see those 2 reasons cited there. And... It is, but they wouldn't admit to that.
No, they would not.
They did reject God as being king. That's God's statement. Their reasons were, your boys are corrupt, and we want a king to judge us like the nation. Now, Linda's pointed out that God focuses on the underlying problem. They've rejected His rule. That's right. It's a good point. Okay, so... Aurora... When did the events in the book of Ruth take place?
In the time of the judges.
In the time of the judges. We learn that in the first chapter, don't we? All right. So here we are in 1 Samuel 8. They ask for a king. Now you go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on his hand, kissed him, and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance?" That's Saul. And so that's why we say 1 through 9, and then beginning in chapter 10, Saul. Saul goes through the end of 1 Samuel, but in chapter 16, you have David anointed, and then you have the interaction of Saul and David in 16 through the end of the book. Okay? That's what we have on your lesson there. You'll see Samuel and Kings, the books of. So you have Saul, 1 Samuel 9 through 31. You have Saul and David, 1 Samuel 16 through 31. Now, you get to 2 Samuel. That's about David. So the second king of the monarchy. What is a monarchy? One rule. One king rule. That's right. I'll have that defined further there in your lesson. A monarchy. And these... This government at this time was a theocracy. A theocracy is where God immediately rules. Now, even the framers of our Constitution, although they said there's separation of church and state, they still acknowledged God, and they acknowledged the Bible as the Word of God. And they, in fact, did not say that you people shouldn't read the Bible or follow the Bible, or that shouldn't be the foundation for the principles of our nation. But that's different than saying God is directing our president, or God is directing, we got some priests, and God is guiding those priests, and the United States Constitution is like the Bible. God guided the hands of the guys who wrote. No, that's not the case. United States is not a theocracy. But the nation of Israel was a theocracy. And so that's another characteristic of this period of the nation of Israel. All right, so then you get to the book of 1 Kings 1 through 11. Now, Solomon is introduced in 2 Samuel, about chapter 22. And then at the end of the book, David is preparing him for his reign. These chapter divisions I have are somewhat arbitrary, like so many of the things that we do by memory, but they're helpful. But don't think that Solomon doesn't even occur until we get to 1 Kings. He does. In fact, his birth is a prominent feature in 2 Samuel as to how Solomon came to be born through Bathsheba. But nevertheless, you get now to his rule as king in the first 11 chapters of 1 Kings. Now, you still had a monarchy. Beginning in chapter 12, the kingdom divided. There was rebellion. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. Look at 1 Kings chapter 12. And look at verse 16. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them. Now, the king, Rehoboam, became the ruler, Solomon's son. He was advised by the older man to be the people's servant. But he followed the counsel of the younger man and, in fact, was going to increase their taxes. And so because of his authoritarian, selfish rule, there was division. That doesn't only happen in civil government kingdoms. It happens in families. When men don't know how to lead their family, it can lead to rebellion. But here's what you have in verse 16. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people asked the king, saying, "What portion do we have in David?" Now, they're not talking about the person David particularly, but his dynasty. A dynasty is a reign of kings in the same family, lineage. So what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. To your tents, O Israel. Now look after your own house. Now obviously, house is neither a building nor a family here, but a kingdom. The family rule, the dynasty. Look after your own house, O David. And so verse 17, as for the sons of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. And then you have in the rest of the chapter, and we'll talk more about that, the northern kingdom began. So you have the southern kingdom with its capital in Jerusalem, and then the northern kingdom that had three capitals. And so you've got now two kingdoms, the divided kingdom. Now, so here on your lesson, we have the divided kingdom, 1 Kings 12, all the way through 2 Kings 25. Now, you'll note we have the book of Chronicles down here. There's one chapter in 1 Chronicles about Saul, chapter 10. You'll see that a little bit further. And then the rest of 1 Chronicles about David. And then 2 Chronicles about Solomon through the first nine chapters about Judah. But what's different about Chronicles from Kings is when the kingdom divided, if you're reading the book of Kings, you're going to read about the northern and southern kingdoms. When you read Chronicles, the writer's going to focus primarily on the southern kingdom of Judah. So that's a difference in those books. All right, look back up at your chart number 5, the kings. You should have chart number 5, the kings. So let's just be sure we're familiar with this chart. It can be a very valuable reference tool in your Bible study when you're teaching as a class teacher or your parents teaching your children or just doing your own personal study. So we've got this chart of the kings. At the top, we have the United Kingdom. You'll note we have Saul, David, and Solomon. There's your three kings in the United Kingdom. Now, I also have some dates there. You'll note I have Saul 1043 to 1004. But instead of starting in 1004, I got David in 1011, which is a difference of about 7 years. We're going to talk in just a minute about the way the kings would count their first year. In fact, I have a paragraph on it down here under Kings. You may have already read it in your preparation for the class. What they would do, let's say a king, let's say their legal year would begin, say, in September, let's say. But the king came to the throne, let's say, in July. Some kings would not count from July to September as their first year. They would call that their accession year. That's the year they came to the throne. So if you calculated the years they reigned, that one wouldn't be counted. That was their accession year. Other kings would count the year they came to the throne as the first year. So you have non-accession counting and accession counting. And so those who counted the accession year number one, though they may have only ruled a month or two, that's year number one. And then the first full year would be year number two. Now, why did I mention that? That, along with what I've just pointed out on your chart about the overlap of dates. If you were to try to go through the kings that are listed in your Bible, say, okay, this one reigned 40 years, this one reigned 5 years, this one reigned, and you add them all up, you say, well, this won't fit in the chronology, and it won't. So how do you explain that? Is there a mistake? No mistake. Remember, this was written for the Jewish nation, to the Jewish nation. And of all people who would know about the accuracy of these books and recognize them as God's word, it was that nation. So the challenge is for later readers like us to try to understand why they calculated like they did. Well, here are just at least two of the factors. And one of them is this accession or non-accession year dating. And the second is that sometimes the reigns of kings overlapped. There was a war between David's dynasty and Saul's dynasty. And so David didn't reign over all of it. And for 7 years, he reigned up in Hebron. Then he went to Jerusalem. And so that will account for, somebody said, well, the Bible is contradictory. You add up all the kings, it don't work. No, it's not contradictory. What we say, what we reveal when we say that is our own lack of knowledge. They knew what they were doing. We may not understand all the ways that they did it, but here are the two of the factors, just to remember, in case you run across that, about the dating of the kings. The dating of the kings can be a real challenging task. But here are two of the factors to keep in mind. All right, now back on our chart. You'll see as I've got the kings numbered, some of the numbers are shaded. You'll notice they're shaded. Down at the bottom of the chart, I explain what that is. You see down at the bottom of the chart, in that second box from the bottom, it says shaded numbers are accession dating. So we just talked about the different ways of dating. And so that's an effort by a man by the name of Edward Thiel. It's his effort. Not everybody agrees with the way he did it, but it is one effort to try to harmonize the various reigns of the kings. That's what those shaded numbers are for. Okay. And another thing about this chart, now you get down to the divided kingdom. And you'll notice I've got the books there that cover the divided kingdom. And so with this chart, you can know what parts of the Bible cover these various reigns. I've got the books and chapters up on the United Kingdom. And what's one word for the United Kingdom? I just asked the question a while ago. No, I said one word. Monarchy. Monarchy. One rule, okay? So the monarchy, and then you got the divided kingdom. Now, look at the two sides of this chart. You see, there's a column. It's the fifth column over that talks about what kind of king he was, good or bad. And you'll see over on the left, on the northern kingdom of Israel, you'll see in that column every single one. Now, I've got 20 listed. Not everybody's going to list 20 kings. Depends on some of these as to whether people count them. But I've got the 20 listed. Just like you can number the judges anywhere from 12 to 18, you can number the kings differently depending on who you include or exclude. But I've got 20 listed. So 20 kings. So the northern kingdom began in about 931 B.C. Okay, you see, I've got that up at the top under United Kingdom Solomon, 971 to 931. So that's when the kingdom divided, about 931. And then you'll see on the left side of the chart at the bottom, on the northern kingdom, I've got 722. Again, that date's going to vary by year or two, depending on who does the calculation. But say 722. So that's when the northern kingdom was taken captive by Assyria. They were conquered. There is no more northern kingdom. That's the end. And so their people were taken away. The skillful people, the educated people, taken into another land. And then Assyria would take captives they had from other lands and repopulate that northern area. And those people that were moved into that area had mixed religion. And so the people left in the land, there were some Jews left in the land. You have these people in the land, they intermarry. But they not only mix their lineage, they mix something else. They mix their religion. So that's in the northern kingdom, or Samaria, one way it's called. That was one of their capitals. And so those people with mixed lineage and mixed religion came to be known as Samaritans. So that's the history. You go over in the New Testament, Samaritans, who are they? The Jews didn't recognize them. They weren't pure Gentiles. Back here's the history that provides you with that data. So, but you see that northern kingdom lasted about 200 years. God sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. And that's in the book of Kings where you have that record. And they wouldn't listen. So you got bad and in all that column. The E, exceptionally bad. M is mostly bad. I know y'all understand my abbreviations, right? And so that's what those are. Okay. I also have how they died, etc. Very interesting, by the way. You know, I can still remember 1963. My wife and I had just married. We were walking through Gibson's in Orange, Texas, I believe it was. They announced on the speaker, President Kennedy was assassinated. We weren't a fan of President Kennedy, but it affects you anyway. That's your ruler. That's your president. Look at some of the how long some of these people reigned. For example, look at number 5, Zimri, 7 days. Then you had Tibni. You look above at Nadab, 2 years. And look how they died. They in the third column over, slain, suicide, etc. So you talk about tumultuous times. But God still expected them to serve Him regardless of the tumultuous times. We live in tumultuous times, but that's no excuse for not serving God. So, when was the United States of America founded? 1776. So, how long has it been in existence? Oh, a little over 200 years, a little longer than this kingdom. So how long will he let the United States of America stand? I don't know. Now look over the other side of the chart. And so we have the southern kingdom. Again, we start with 931 or 2. when the kingdom divided, but look at the bottom of the chart, you'll see three deportations. Again, they were conquered, this time by Babylon. And there were three notable dates when the ruler of Babylon came against them and took people captive. 606, 597, and finally in 586, they came and destroyed their capital, the temple, etc. So you start with 932, go to 586. So let's just say 600 to 932, that's what? A little over 300 years, right? That the southern kingdom lasted. And they were destroyed. Now, the difference is they never had a king again. But they did not lose their identity. Okay, so that's the northern and southern kingdom. And that's what you're going to be reading about when you read Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. That's the book we have in our lessons today. You're going to be reading about these periods with these men that are on that chart. Now, if you look at the column on good, you'll see that they did have some good kings in their 20 kings, many bad kings in their 20 kings. And so you get down to number 16, Josiah. You know what I put? Best. He's the best of the best on that side. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could put best 5 times or 10 times? So in their history of over 300 years, many bad kings. And Josiah, the best of the kings. And yet you have his three sons, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin. And why did Samuel's two boys go bad? I don't know. Why is this good, devout King Josiah, who when he was 8 years old was serving God, 12 years old it's mentioned, 16 years old he was working reforms, a remarkable guy. But his boys are corrupt. What can you do to maybe help prevent that? Have any ideas?
Teach your children.
What?
Teach your children.
Teach them. What's one way to teach them?
Example.
Example is a great answer.
Read them.
Under the nation of Israel, how were the children? What was one of the ways? Example. What was another way?
Reminding.
Who? Remind who? Who reminds? Parents. Family. Family teach your children. And then they would gather the nation together. And the law would be read. And who would be present? Everybody. What you're doing right now. Studying together. Praying together. That's another way. And so your children today, you love them. They're sweet. Well, some of them are. But anyway, they're good kids. But what's it going to be when they're 16, when they're 18, when they're 25? A lot of that may be determined by what you do today. And having them in this class is one of the things. It's not the only thing. But your example, somebody mentioned that. That's so key. And then, of course, your family training. And then this opportunity that God has given us here. All right. So at the bottom, we're going to talk about this further on this chart in later classes, if the Lord is willing. The three deportations and the three returns, one led by Zerubbabel, one led by Ezra, and one led by Nehemiah. And that sets the background for the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. So we'll be looking at that, the Lord willing. Now, you know what I have down here? One capital, Jerusalem, whereas on the left you had three capitals, Shechem, Tirzah, and Samaria. Okay. That gives an overview of that chart. Okay, let's go down now. We've talked about the kings and the chronicles. First and Second Chronicles down there, I've got five things listed. You have the genealogies in the first 9 chapters. Probably if you're studying, you get to that and say, let me skip over to chapter 10. But that was key, very important to the Jewish nation. Starts with Adam. and goes to after the exile, which gives you an indication of when the book was written, by the way. And so that's in the first 9 chapters. And it can be very interesting, actually. It traces, for example, Abraham's lineage or David's lineage or the priest who would be priest, that kind of thing. So it's a valuable source. And then you have one chapter on Saul, and then, of course, David in the rest of 1 Chronicles, Solomon in 2 Chronicles, first 9 chapters, and then Judah, the southern kingdom, 2 Chronicles 10 through 36. All right, so here, right after that, we've got the United Kingdom, lasted about 120 years. Now, right under there, I've got 3 verses. We're not going to take the time to read those right now. But why do I have those 3 verses? If you go read those 3 verses, each one talks about the 40 years of each one of the 3 kings. They use the phrase 40 years. But we've already noticed there's an overlap. But the 40 years is not taken from a book somewhere about the Bible. It's taken right out of these texts. So that's why those 3 verses are there. But I have right under that, notice 2 Samuel 2, 8 through 11, 3, 1, and 5, 5, 113 total years. If you allow David and Saul's overlap of 7 years. Okay, so you can read that as you have time. All right, let's look at Saul for just a moment. There's people, for example, you've heard me talk about a man named Jesse Jenkins. Many of you know Jesse. He's a very small man, little man. And yet he's one of the biggest men I know. Morally, spiritually, godly. Saul is just the opposite. Saul was a big man. But he was a small man in his moral and spiritual being, character. And so, and by the way, I guess this is a good place to interject this. We're going to start studying about character, if the Lord is willing, in September. With the lessons are in the back on the table. Basic character traits. We'll do that on Wednesday evening. We'll reintroduce our Wednesday night classes, the Lord willing, in September. So if you haven't picked that up, do that. All right, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. Verse 2. Let me ask you a question. Yeah, if you lived in the time of David, there was a man who lived then that the nation exalted because of the way he looked. Y'all remember who that was? Absalom. Absalom. Remember, he had long hair, apparently a handsome guy. Yeah, you're talking about when David was selected as king back in 1 Samuel chapter 16. That's what Linda's thinking about, and that's correct. They looked at David's brothers and said, oh, this is the one. He's big and tall, and that's a good point Linda made. But here's David, a young guy, ruddy. Oh, he can't be the guy. Yeah, he's the one. We tend to judge people by appearance. That's sad. By the slant of their eyes, by the color of their skin, by the maybe inflection of their voice, by maybe their physical maladies, maybe they're humped over or something like that. Instead of judging people by their character, by who they are. First of all, beginning with the fact, regardless of their character, they're made in the image of God. And then, what kind of people are they morally and spiritually? That's what counts. So here it says in verse 2 about Saul. And this shows you, it's a lesson about us. We make these mistakes. So there was that mistake with Absalom, who was trying to take the throne from his daddy. He would have killed him if he could have. He was a liar. But here's Saul. Says that he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice and handsome man. And there was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than any of the people. We have some good historians in the audience, like history. I want you to test me on this. I don't know if it's so. When I was in a meeting up in Ohio, I toured some of their houses that were over 100 years old. And they didn't have 6-foot-8 doors. They were shard doors. I said, well, what's the deal? People were sharper then. And whoever was talking to me about this, I believe the same person told me, that's one of the reasons George Washington was recognized as a leader. He was tall. I don't know if that's right or not. Anybody know? It is true? Okay. That's interesting, isn't it? So here's Saul. And he's tall. He's, man, look, he's got to be the one. But God did choose him to be the king, even though he didn't want them to have a king, as we saw in our last class. And so they anointed Saul king. And now go to chapter 13. So here's an opportunity. He was very humble at first. He said, me, you know, I'm from the least tribe in Israel. I'm a nobody. Oh, you're talking about making me king. Pride can get the best of us. Somebody congratulates us. We put in a position of authority. Sometimes that happens in a company. A guy gets a promotion. He becomes a manager. All of a sudden, pride goes to his head, and he misuses his authority. That's what happened to Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, and verse 13 and 14, after this incident, Samuel said to Saul, you've acted foolishly. He thought, I'm the king. I can offer sacrifices. You acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord your God, the Lord would have established your kingdom, your rule, your dominion over Israel forever. Obviously, Saul wasn't going to live forever. It's about his dynasty. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. Now, put that in contrast to verse 13. After his own heart, somebody who keeps God's commandments. That's the idea. For the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people because you've not kept what the Lord commanded you. And then we have on your lesson also chapter 15. You're familiar with this story. That's when God told Saul to go destroy the Amalekites, and he didn't. He failed to respect delegated authority, we see in verse 17 following, which we're not going to read right now. But we're going to go down to verse 22. Here's what Samuel said to Saul. So he had such promise before him. God had good things in store for him if he had just listened. And young people in our audience, you're at that stage in your life in a way. What's your life going to be like? It's most maybe on the choices you're making today. That's what your life will be like then. And so here we have in 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected you from being king. So, a story that had so much potential in the beginning turned out to be a sad story. Because a man's pride caused him not to listen and respect God and the authority that he had been delegated. You'll see I have here on your lesson Samuel considering to be a threat to his life. You'll see that in chapter 16 when God told Samuel to go anoint David. He also attempted to kill David and Jonathan, his own son, from these very humble beginnings. Who am I? What do you mean I'm going to be king? I'm a nobody. To where now he's trying to kill his own son. And David, who he thought was a threat to his kingdom, which he wasn't. And then also, you see it on your lesson there, he slaughtered the priest at Nob. Priests, special people that God has appointed for service of the nation. He just went and killed them. He believed a liar, a slanderer, Doeg, the Edomite. And kill these innocent people. And we sometimes kill people when we believe liars. I don't mean kill them with a knife or gun, but slay their reputation. And this was actual murder. And then finally, he committed suicide. When he knew he was going to die, he committed suicide. Real sad story about Saul. Real valuable moral and spiritual lessons can be learned from the study of Saul. Real quick, our quiz. Number one, the record of the kings of Israel and Judah are found where? ABC, all three. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. That's right. Number two, the first three kings of the United Kingdom are?
None of the above.
None of the above. That's right. None of the above. The United Kingdom lasted?
Hey,
about 120 years, about 40 years each for the first three kings. Chronicles was what? D, none of the above. Actually, the term Chronicles for that book was given by Jerome. And it wasn't the Hebrew title.
Is that not what number is?
What?
In ours,
oh, good grief, you're right. C and D. I mean, it'd be C, not D. I'll get it right here in a minute. Y'all better watch me. All right. And five. All of them, right? Okay. So I get a C plus. All right. Be sure, if you haven't, if you have time, be good to do the reading. Do it as a family. Don't forget the 100 questions.